if you're going to be able to get along with the person and you have a common interest in with somebody who's willing to put in the work with you, because it is work, then I would say a co-host is maybe a good idea, because you can feed off of each other. You can leverage each other's strengths.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Welcome back to the podcast on podcasting. It's friend Adam A. Adams. And today I've got a friend on the podcast. It's Brian Hamilton. Brian, how are you today?
I'm excellent. Yourself?
Phenomenal. Thank you for asking. So you're an engineer. You're in the space of helping people with security, like cybersecurity. Is that accurate? Is that what your main job is?
So it's more that we provide security incident reporting and security management resources.
Okay.
The software solutions.
But your podcast is totally different from your day job. Like a lot of my listeners, I think they're like, I want to start a podcast because I'm a life coach and I want more life coach clients. So I'm going to show people how awesome I am and that they need to hire me. Or I'm a real estate investing coach, or I want to raise money and attract capital, buy businesses. So I'm going to have a podcast about that subject, about security, about software engineering, about homeland security, whatever it is. Like, I'm going to start a podcast about this thing. People are going to know I'm an expert. I'm going to be able to sell lots of stuff. But your main job is that, but your podcast is called Disrupt the Everyday. It's not about online security in any way. It's not about engineering, what you do, what your job is. It's you and your wife, right? Helping people to figure out how to be a better couple, be better parents. Is that kind of the gist of it? Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. And I'll actually rewind back a little bit. This is actually the third podcast that I'm a part of. The first two, actually, I did exactly what you were saying. I kind of focused on my field. So the first podcast I did was the Healthcare Security Cast. I still do the other two. The Healthcare Security Cast is focused on healthcare security, just helping leaders of those security teams with different challenges. And then a second one that I co-host with a gentleman named Mike Hodge is focused on workplace violence in healthcare. And that's called the Proactive Security Podcast. It was kind of launched from his Proactive Security blog. So I did those two. I wanted to talk about something other than security. And I pitched the idea to my wife. I said, I want to start a third podcast. And her, knowing how much time it takes, she wasn't a super fan of the idea of me starting a third one. But then she came back to me and said, hey, we could do this together. I said, okay, you know what? We might be onto something there. And it's gone really well. We've really enjoyed collaborating in that way and working together on something and interviewing people to just help people through everyday situations and challenges.
So a lot of good feedback. You've started more than one podcast. I think some of the listeners might be wondering, like, if you've got a death wish, how did you get so much time on your hands? You must not really be married. You must not have kids, or you must not have a full-time job. Or I think that so many of us are like making these assumptions about you based on you having three podcasts. So I guess I want to ask a two-part question on that.
Sure.
Number one is like, why three podcasts? Why not one? A second question is what you've done to allow yourself to still kind of have a life. I assume you have a life. What you've done to allow yourself to still have a life while publishing three different shows.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess to answer the first part of your question, the reason why there's three, I didn't plan on launching three. I started off with the Healthcare Security Cast, and it took me a year and a half of actually having the idea to actually take action on it. But when I did, it was really quick from the time that I recorded the first episode till it was online. But I launched that. And again, it was with the goal of interviewing people who were in my field, learning from them and sharing those learnings with the greater community. So that was really what made me want to do that and why I started doing it. The second one was, it was actually Mike Hodges was a guy I interviewed for episode 3 of my podcast. And the workplace violence is a huge issue in healthcare. A lot of people don't realize that, but we wanted to shed light on that. We wanted to also just, again, have more resources available for folks. So being that the Healthcare Security Cast is a weekly podcast, the Proactive Security Podcast, because Mike and myself, we live in different parts. Well, we don't live in the same country. I'm in Canada. He's in Athens, Georgia. But for us to be able to collaborate, it's we couldn't do a weekly episode. So we do a monthly episode. And then again, I'll kind of circle back to what I said earlier in terms of having the idea of a third one, wanting to talk about something other than healthcare security or workplace violence. I want to just have conversations with people who are doing different things. So that was kind of why there's three of them. I haven't wanted to stop any of them because I'm passionate about all of them. I'm passionate about everything that's involved. But in terms of having a life, yes, you are correct. I do indeed have a life. I have a wife who I do co-host my third podcast with. We have four children. I do have a full-time job. I have taught part-time as well at a couple of local colleges. And yeah, you know what? It's all about just finding the time. I guess the other thing I didn't mention as well, I am the president-elect of the International Association for Healthcare Security and Safety. So in 2022, I'll be the president. And that's another time commitment as well. But for me, it's all about time blocking and making sure that I just fit these things into my schedule. And I'm a big advocate for using my calendar, even for like those personal things. Like, for example, this evening, I'll be dropping off my son at a youth event, but that's in my calendar. So during the time that I'm driving there and back, I'm not going to get pulled into anything else. And when I'm looking at my calendar throughout the day, I have that visual reminder that that's happening tonight. So it's just about making time for those important things.
A lot of good stuff. I want to ask another question based on the three different podcasts. The first podcast, correct me if I'm wrong, the first podcast is a weekly podcast. Then the second podcast is a monthly podcast. And if I'm not wrong, it's like now the new podcast is like twice a week, or is it just weekly?
Right now it is just weekly.
Okay. Because I'm looking at like basically back in October, there was one on the first and one on the fourth. And so I'm like, those are only a couple days apart. You might be doing more than one a week. So out of curiosity, like there's so many questions that I have on this, and I hope that it's valuable to more than one listener. Question number A, why did the second one have, man, there's so many questions. I need to figure out which one I want to ask first. Here you go, brother. With your podcast, which one performs the best? Is it the first one because it's been there for a long time? Is it the second one because it's only one episode a month? Is the one episode a month actually hinder you? Is the new podcast more because you brought over all of your listeners? Very curious for many of us who are going to start one or two or three or four podcasts, what you've learned by doing those. So that's really what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah. So I'll say in terms of success, and if you want to measure it by downloads, it would go in the sequence of third, first, and second. So Disrupt the Everyday is probably performing the best overall right now. The Healthcare Security Cast would be second. And then the Proactive Security Podcast is third. And I think the reason why that one doesn't do as well is because it's not as frequent, right? So you're uploading one episode a month, so you don't get that same listenership with the other ones where there's weekly content. The Healthcare Security Cast, before I was doing all these other podcasts, there were times where I was releasing more than one a week. So again, I would try to add bonus episodes. And with that one, when I was just getting started, I didn't know what I was doing. So I was reaching out to people in my industry and saying, hey, whether it was people I knew or people I didn't know, like, I have this podcast, I'd love to get your feedback, love to have you on the show, whatever. But I was reaching out to people directly and just trying to, not even necessarily trying to grow it, but just trying to get feedback and see what people wanted to hear about, so I could facilitate those conversations. So I think that really helped in terms of just getting that consistent, I guess, consistent listeners. It was just,
yeah.
There's one guy in particular who I haven't got him on the show yet, but he said he didn't listen to podcasts before this. Right. I had reached out to him. He's like, this is the only podcast I listen to.
Wow.
And yeah. So, and then in terms of Disrupt the Everyday, my wife's big on, I wouldn't say big, it's only really been since we started the podcast, but she's a very social person. And using Instagram, she's been able to bring in people who I wouldn't have been able to bring in because I'm not really on there.
Guests, you mean, as like guests on the show or as listeners?
Both, but primarily as listeners, because that's a whole audience. Most of my social media activity is on LinkedIn. I post a quote every morning, something I've been doing for a lot of years, but I go on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn, and I post that in the morning. The only site that I'll go out back to throughout the day typically is going to be LinkedIn. So I'm not engaging as much on those other platforms where she is. So she helps bring in, again, other people. And since that podcast isn't focused very, it's not niched down to healthcare security, there's a lot more, it's a bit more broad. So I think more people who will find interesting topics that we're discussing.
So correct me if I'm wrong. What I think that I heard was that Disrupt the Everyday, which is the most recently published podcast, as we record, you're between 30 and 40 episodes out published, correct, is your most popular of all three. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. If you're looking at it in terms of downloads. Yeah.
So let me ask you, is it because you learned something on the first podcast you ever did and you learned some more new things on the second and you made sure to do it differently on the third? And if so, can you share with the listener those things that you learned that you needed to do differently that have worked?
Yeah, for sure. I guess the first thing is with the Healthcare Security Cast, I started off recording three episodes when I was at a IHSS meeting. So I was with other healthcare security leaders. I decided to just do, I told them what I was doing and three people, you know, raised their hand and were willing to do interviews. So that was my early content. Now I recorded those. There was one of the people I interviewed posted on social media about it. So I was like, okay, I'm going to have to turn this around quickly. I thought it was good because it prevented me from dragging my feet. I had already dragged my feet for a year and a half and actually taking action to launch it. But then from there, I went ahead and launched it. And then it was a weekly struggle to get content. I never really planned ahead for that. So one thing with the Proactive Security Podcast, myself and Mike, we've been collaborating to make sure that we have our episodes recorded in advance with Tanya and I, in terms of our podcast. We've got our content for the next few months kind of already in the vault, if you will, just waiting to be edited and released. So the thing I did differently with the Disrupt the Everyday podcast was on the day that I released it, we released five episodes and our trailer episode that talked about what we were going to be discussing on the show. And then that way, anybody who listened to it and liked an episode, there was more for them to listen to. They didn't have to wait the week for new content. So there was basically five episodes and a trailer episode to start things off. And then from there, we've maintained that weekly cadence. A couple of weeks, we've had a bonus episode if something came up that we wanted to share right away, if the timing made sense. So we've done that as well. But it's really just been having that content in advance. I think that was the biggest thing because now we have four kids. If something comes up, if we have a family emergency and I have to cancel a recording, my next episode isn't going to be dependent on that.
Yeah. I'm more than on board with that. I personally try to record way more than I need to publish. I think that's so important. You mentioned, like with your first one, you had a weekly struggle. Then after that, your second one, you're trying to be ahead of the game and you've got, even like you and your wife have the next few months like figured out. If you don't record right now, you'll still be able to publish and keep that active. And I see that doing a couple of things for sure. I see that benefiting you and your spouse to not let the podcast be as stressful to you. Like when you're behind the eight ball all the time and it's a weekly struggle, like it was with your first podcast, you're more likely to let the podcast go, quit the podcast, pod fade, because it's just feels stressful. And so you were able to definitely correct that. You don't feel that weekly struggle anymore. And in large part because you're recording more episodes than you publish. I'm fully on board with that. I'm curious if there's slightly more to it. So I'm going to just ask you a follow-up. And one of the things that I'm noticing, you said that your newest one is the most well-downloaded, higher numbers or whatever, and that you've been doing this really well. You've been doing at least one a week and sometimes even a bonus. And that just takes me to the other one, the very first one that is also supposedly a weekly podcast. Are you saying that at some point on that other one, were you always publishing it on time or did you make a mistake and like miss a few episodes here and there?
Yeah, I definitely made some mistakes. There was one week where I got out the episode really late. I've changed kind of the release pattern with that a couple of times, trying to find what's going to work best. I've changed timing, right? So I've done a lot of different things with that one, just in terms of some challenges there. Again, early on when I didn't have a lot of content in advance, I ran into an issue where I released an episode late because I just didn't have anything to release. So again, just kind of working through some of those challenges was a big thing. One thing I did do was I spent a couple of months just really, I guess you could say aggressively, reaching out to people and getting content recorded to get myself ahead of the game again. But I guess another thing that I'll share is a potential mistake. I didn't plan at all for taking a break, right? So I didn't plan on having seasons or anything like that. It's just, I'm just doing a weekly cadence with episodic, but I didn't plan in terms of taking breaks. I know a lot of people will do seasons of their podcasts. I didn't think of that at all. So That's another thing worth considering is if you're going to do seasons and how you're going to schedule breaks for yourself, because you do still need that.
I want to do a little bit of rapid fire questions with you.
Sure.
I probably have 4-ish questions queued up, and I want to jump in there and ask, I think you've done one podcast by yourself and two with a co-host.
Correct.
So I definitely want to ask about that. I want to ask about like what it's like working with your spouse. I want to understand if you could share anything with a listener about like why they shouldn't do a podcast, or what would constitute you not having a good enough reason to actually start one, or if there's anything bad that happens when having a podcast. I'd love to get your thoughts on that. And then just to kind of follow up with why you would want to start a podcast. So I've got those 4-ish questions queued up. They might just be rapid fire, but we do have a sponsor on the show. I want them to have a moment to just kind of share with our listener what they can do for the listener. So let's just take a quick break, and we'll literally be right back with these 4 rapid fire questions. Hey, my friend, as you know, this episode is sponsored by my company, growyourshow.com. We want you to be able to have the best tools at your disposal without costing you a whole arm and a leg. So right now you can get a free list of vetted equipment that like mics, mixers, webcams, sound treatment, editing software, everything that you need. I created the whole PDF with direct purchase links just to save you time and money to help it be more convenient for you. So this free PDF will help you skip all the guesswork. If it's on there, it's vetted and approved by yours truly. And if it's not on there, it's probably not worth the money. So go ahead and get yours at growyourshow.com/PDF. Let's get back into the show. All right. So I've got at least 4 questions for you, Brian. The first question is, should I start a podcast by myself or with a co-host? Why or why not?
All right. So the answer is, in my opinion, it depends. If you have a co-host you're going to be able to work with, it really depends on, I guess, what you're trying to accomplish. For the podcast that I co-host with my wife, it's more of a situation where we wanted to do something together. It's something that we're both willing to put the work in on, and we get along. I guess one thing that we've seen with COVID, unfortunately, is that when people have been forced to work from home, it's resulted in a lot of marriages going south or relationships going south, because when people have to spend that much time together, it's not necessarily a good thing. So if that's the case, you probably don't want to start a podcast with your significant other. Maybe you want to try something else. But if you're going to be able to get along with the person and you have a common interest and you're somebody who's willing to put in the work with you, because it is work, then yeah, I would say a co-host is maybe a good idea, because you can feed off of each other. You can leverage each other's strengths. Now, again, there's times where Tanya and I are having conversations, and if you have a chance to listen to our podcast, you'll hear there's times where I'm asking more of the questions or guiding the conversation, and then naturally you'll see she jumps in or vice versa. So we have a good flow that way. With the podcast with Mike and myself, because he's more of the workplace violence expert, and I had built all of this momentum with the healthcare security cast, and I wanted to leverage that to talk about an important topic, but I needed the expertise of someone else, someone who's actually still in it on a day-to-day basis. So yeah, I brought Mike in for that. And it started off with me just asking him questions, having conversations with him. And then we expanded it to bringing other people onto our show. So in the beginning, it was just us having conversations, and now we've brought other people into the conversations. Every now and then it will be just the two of us again. But for the most part, we bring at least a third person into the conversation. I guess the one advantage of doing things solo is you don't have to coordinate with another person. You can just kind of do what you want. And, you know, you have all of the creative liberty. So it really depends on, I guess, your personality, your working style, and what you want to get out of the show.
Yeah. I think there was a lot to digest there. You brought up parts of working with your spouse. And I'm curious, like, before I even ask the question, like the pros and cons of working with the spouse, you mentioned that you guys are kind of doing this together. At any point, are you doing any episodes where it's just her without you, or just you without her? Or is it always a collaboration?
Right now, it's always collaboration. Okay. And that may change. That's something that we've discussed, as we may. There was an episode where we actually interviewed her best friend and talked about her business venture and her blog. And she had actually done an Instagram live just with the two of them. And it kind of using the branding of the Disrupt the Everyday podcast. So that's a discussion that we've had. She may do an episode with just her and her best friend again, or another individual, and I may do the same. So we haven't eliminated that possibility.
Okay.
It's just, the collaboration's been working well, but again, it's something we've been open to. It really is just going to be topical and to depend on whether or not we do it.
All right. I've actually got a fifth question that I'm decided to pull up instead of the four. So question number one, co-host or no co-host? And it's basically the answers depends. Working with your spouse, it sounds like, what are the considerations of should we do it this way or not? Like for you, for example.
Yeah, I guess the considerations are understanding your working styles. Like if you're someone who's very deadline driven, very focused, and the other person is, you know, maybe more lackadaisical, they're going to be willing to wait till the last minute. But say if you're relying on the episode to be recorded and the notes to be made, like any bullet points so you can do the show notes, you're going to run into a problem. So planning accordingly for that. Again, it all comes down to working styles of both individuals.
Do you know from experience, Brian? Is that you guys? It's one of you? who's the deadline person?
It's more me because I don't want to be like I've been the one who's been doing it with using Libsyn as the platform I use.
Yeah.
But I've been using that to get the podcast published. So I've just naturally decided I'll continue doing that because it's all under one account. I could just go on, upload it, get everything up there. So if I'm waiting for recordings to get done, then that's a challenge for me. The editing.
Tanya do the editing or?
Yeah, she started helping with the editing. Cool. So we both take it on. It really depends on schedules, right? Cool. So if she has a lot going on our downtime, which is pretty limited, I'll take the head lead on it.
Yeah. If there is one that you're allowed to share without getting a divorce, what's like a fight or an argument that came as a result of the podcast by working with a spouse that maybe the listener should hear to benefit them in case they're going to do it?
I wouldn't say it was a fight. It was definitely a healthy disagreement, but it was in terms of using a calendar because a little bit of background. I've worked from home since the start of the pandemic. Well, a little bit into the pandemic, I did have some responsibility with healthcare facilities, so I had to go into a few when things started. But once I started this job last September, I've been working from home and I've gotten accustomed to using my calendar to keep track of meetings and I put everything in there. So we had some challenges in terms of trying to automate when we're doing interviews with people because I had to really push Tanya to start using the calendar that I had set up. So we have our account set up through Google and there's a Google calendar in there. And my thing was, I understand that we're both working on different schedules. She works from home as well. She runs a home daycare. But my thing was, you need to put things in the calendar. I can't schedule people if you're not going to be here. And it's just because she hasn't had to. She's been working from home for the last, I think, 5 or 6 years now. And she doesn't need to use a digital calendar to keep track of what she has to do. So I had to really kind of get her into that habit. So I'm not booking interviews when she's not going to be here. And so that was a little bit of a challenge, but we've gotten past that point.
Man, I remember the day that I thought that I had all of my shit together and like I memorized all of my calendar. I always knew. And must have been 2015 or 2016 that I was like, I started missing some things. So this guy called me and he's like, dude, I'm at the restaurant waiting for you. And I'm like, oh, F. this was like the third mistake that I had made in about 2 week span, 3 week span. And I said, I guess I have to use a calendar. So yeah, I use Google Calendar and I use Calendly to automatically check it and schedule people. And man, life has been good. So that was a great takeaway from you. I've seen it also in my own life. I want to get to question number three. And remind you, this is kind of supposed to be rapid fire. So just a FYI. Okay.
I'll be more rapid.
No, it's all good. It's all good. We've gotten tons of value. So I don't want you to, you're like, I'm not going to share this because Adam called me out on something. No, here we go. Question number three. Why would somebody not want to have a podcast? Is there a valid reason to not have a podcast? If we know something about ourselves, is that an indication that we shouldn't have a podcast? And if so, what is it?
If you have thin skin or you don't want to put in the work, you probably shouldn't launch a podcast. I guess that's as rapid as I can get with that. But really, like, you have to understand there are going to be times where people don't want to be a guest on your show. If you're going to kind of waffle at any obstacle, there are a lot of challenges with anything that's worthwhile doing. So if you're not going to be willing to put in the work, if you don't have the passion for it, if you're doing it just because you want to monetize, because you've seen that Joe Rogan is getting paid by Spotify $100 million to do his podcast, and that's what you think is going to happen overnight, it's a process. We have sponsors as well, but it didn't come overnight. There's work that goes into it.
that's super valuable, like thinking if it's right for me or if it's not. But I loved how you said that if something is like valuable, if something is good, it'll always come with challenges, like marriage. I mean, we're talking about your wife. And I'm sure you never fight, but I will say that most of us know that if something's valuable, if something's worthwhile, it comes with challenges. It doesn't matter what it is. Our children, you've got four of them, I've got two of them. Anything worthwhile comes with challenges. That was really insightful. And I think also helpful for us when we're starting a podcast to understand that there's going to be some pros and cons with anything. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Question number four out of five. It was going to be four, but I've thought of a new one. Why would we want to start a podcast? So like, who is it good for? And don't just simply say, oh, if you have thick skin and you are hardworking, then you should.
The opposite of what I said. The opposite of what I said for the last question.
Right.
One thing I will say, no, we definitely, Tanya and I, we definitely do have conflict. I think that's a healthy part of any relationship, but it's how you deal with it. And knowing that conflict isn't going to be, it shouldn't be the end of a relationship, no matter what that relationship is. But to answer your question, why would we start a show? If you have something that you want to share, if you have something that you want to learn about and other people can benefit, you know, even if you're not sure if other people can benefit, but you know that you can learn, I promise you there are other people who are going to benefit from what you're putting out there. And I guess it really depends. Is it something that you're wanting to get a huge audience around? Or is it you just want to help one person? We recently interviewed Justin Shank. And one of the things that he said was early on when his podcast wasn't being listened to a lot, there was one episode in particular where somebody had reached out to him from Japan and said because they listened to that episode, they decided not to take their own life. So you never know who's going to listen. You never know the impact that you're going to have. So if you have the ability to get content, and it's something that you're passionate about, something that you want to do, something that you want to share, I say that would be a good reason to start a show.
So based on what I think I heard, you're mentioning two major reasons why someone might need to or want to have a podcast. And one of them was basically your heart, your passion, your purpose. Like you have a desire to get this message out, to share this with other people, to leave a legacy, that kind of stuff. And the second one was that it's a topic that you're interested in yourself, you want to learn and grow. I love both, and I want to add to it, in my mind, other reasons that can be beneficial of having a podcast. One is if you have something to sell, and I hate to offend anyone, but working your podcast in with your business can be super helpful to grow your business and the influence and the clients that you can serve and help with that service, whether it's an online thing or a one-on-one coaching or whatever. That's certainly a good reason, not the end all be all. Maybe not everybody wants to monetize, but that could be like a third benefit to having a podcast. And the fourth one is the networking, if I can say.
Oh, absolutely.
Brian, can you pinpoint relationships that you've built only because you are a podcaster that have helped you make money or helped you solve a problem that you could actually share that story with us right now?
I'll say the first one that sticks out is just Mike Hodges, who I host a podcast with. We met solely because I kind of cold reached out to him because I wanted to have him on the podcast. So from there, he had interviewed me and mentioned me in his blog. And then I had reached out to him. I was listening to, I was trying to get some teasers or snippets out of my episodes. I remember I was cleaning the pool one day and I'm just listening to the episode with Mike. And I'm like, we had a great conversation. I should reach out and see if he wants to collaborate on this. So I did. And now we're more than a year into that podcast. We've just released episode 13 earlier this month, actually, or sorry, last month. So that was one relationship that benefited. In terms of just what it did for my career, I'm in the position I am now because of my podcast. That was how the person who brought me into this organization found me. Now, part of my networking I had done through my work in my association and in my career field gave me the ability to actually know people in the organization I work with. So when I had started mentioning names, I guess I'll kind of give a little bit of context. He had reached out to me because of something I posted and he saw my podcast. He had said to me at the end of this call, and I wasn't looking for a job. I was pretty content where I was, but he had said to me at the end of the call, are you looking for a job? And I said, I'm not necessarily, but I'd be willing to listen. I've used the products before and I believe in them. And he said, well, I have to promote a superstar of mine and she doesn't know it yet. And I said, oh, do you mean, and I said the person's name, and he's like, yeah, you know her? And I said, oh yeah, absolutely. So she vouched for me. A few months later, I was working for her. So again, in terms of making money, I can say that was a position that I didn't leave for the same pay or less pay. We'll put it that way. So it was a bit of a jump for me. So I obviously appreciate that part. And just the way that they've been supportive of a lot of the extracurricular things I've been doing. So that's definitely another one. And that was somebody I didn't even have on the show. He just saw the show and reached out to me. And I could probably share a ton of stories like that where...
I'm so glad that you shared that. I'm trying to deduce. If you're not making less and if you're not making the same, anyway, we'll just leave that there. Congratulations on the new position and some of those relationships that you've made. And one of the people that you became a co-host of a podcast with because you reached out to them for another podcast. There's a lot to that that I believe is inspirational. A lot of good reasons to start a podcast: heart, passion, purpose, learning and growing yourself, networking, making money. A lot of good reasons. The fifth question that I wanted to ask you, or still want to ask you, is what are you looking for, hoping to get out of each and every one of these shows? And as short as possible, like that first show, it's supposed to solve something for you in some way, right? What is that? What are you getting out of the second show and this third show? How does it benefit your life?
Well, I think the first show, it was just learning was the biggest thing for me. I just wanted to grow in the industry I was in, learn as much as I could. And now it still applies because I'm still serving that industry. So I still need to be on top of the trends. I'm still volunteering in that industry. So again, I need to be able to speak intelligently to what's happening in the field. And the second one is essentially the same thing. It's just kind of getting more granular into something more specific. So I guess at the heart of all three, it's always been learning. With the third one, again, learning and maybe a little bit more element of teaching as well. But you know, things that I want to be better at. So our first episode of the Disrupt the Everyday podcast, we had Barbara Colarasso on, who's been on Oprah, who's been on CNN, all the three-letter networks, talking about parenting. Well, I have four kids. Obviously, I can benefit from somebody who's been teaching this stuff for 45 years. I can learn from what she has to say. So if we share that conversation, other people are going to learn from it as well. So I think the learning has probably been the driving force behind what I want to get out of these shows. The learning, just meeting new and interesting people, and just being able to kind of, I guess, work outside of geographical area as well.
Awesome. Brian Hamilton, thank you for jumping on the show. What we have done or will do, we have done for the listener, like all three of these podcasts that Brian has and his wife and his friend, Mike, all of those are linked up in the show notes. So you can scroll down, you can actually check out his bio, and you can also click on like his website, the links to these different podcasts that he has. So you can check them out, whichever one or ones you're interested in. They're all right there. The links as well to connect with Brian, that's in the show notes as well. So scroll down and connect with him. And by the way, if you check out his show, either any of his shows, can't say either, or it's not one, it's not two, it's three. But if you end up checking it out, please leave an honest rating and review. Like, just leave an honest written review of what you think of that show. And if you can, let them know that you heard about him here. I would be very grateful for that. Brian, any parting advice? What would you like to share with us before we let you go, sir?
I guess in terms of parting advice, I would say if you are going to be launching a podcast, which I'm assuming you're at least thinking about it if you're listening to this show, I would say just leverage some of the tools to automate different things out there. You know, Adam, you mentioned Calendly earlier. I do use Calendly. I use Jotform in terms of just getting kind of inbound guest requests. I use Linktree to kind of consolidate everything into one link so people can find everything that relates to the show. In terms of getting guests, there's a lot of good ways to do that. Podmatch is a great one I've been using a lot lately. Podbooker. Again, social media. I use LinkedIn a lot. Getting referrals from guests is another great thing that people kind of overlook, but you can get some great guests that way. And listening to other podcasts and seeing who they're interviewing. So again, lots of good ways to do that, but I'll kind of part there. I'm really grateful for the opportunity to share what I've learned through either successes and failures of podcasting. So thank you for bringing me on the show, Adam.
I just want to say thank you for being on. You added a ton of value. I always appreciate when I have a guest who comes from a place of wanting to add value, not a place of self-promotion. Like, definitely all of us have had guests on our shows that it feels like the person's there for the wrong reason or they have some other agenda. with you today. I felt like you really just wanted to add value and pour into people. And so I respect that, admire that. And I know that the listener does as well. So Brian, thanks for jumping on the show. I'd be more than happy to have your spouse on the show on another time too. So if you want to connect with her and let her know, I'd love to get her on, share her experiences. That'd be really good. So thanks for jumping on. The links to Brian's info is all under. Just scroll down right now. You can click on anything that you want. I'm going to let you go. And until next time, grow your show, grow your influence, grow your impact, and grow your wealth. Bye for now.
If you're glad that you checked out the podcast today, if you got some value out of this episode, some actionable takeaways, I invite you to do one of three things. A, you could do a written review on Apple. Let us know what you think. Just an honest written review. B, you could share the podcast with a friend of yours who needs it. Or C, at the very least, implement what you've learned to take your business and your podcast to the next level. And I'll see you on the next episode.